Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Part of why we're doing this series, if you want to put that series page up, The Way of Life, An Ancient Pathway, is because part of this is really, it is spiritual formation. It is getting down to what it looks like to follow and walk and live with Jesus. And what I'm trying to do in this series, The Way of Life, I am trying to dismantle some things that we think are part of today's Christianity, that maybe we need to rethink some of these things because walking with Jesus looks a little different. So just a quick review. If you you weren't here, I'm going to catch you up. But you know what? It's been 3 weeks now because Pastor Rod preached last week. Wonderful message. The first one was about two ways, one choice. Two ways, one choice. And the reality is from the book of Genesis to Jesus and in Acts, there has always been two ways. Wow, puberty's hitting me today. Two ways, but really it comes down to one choice. The garden had two trees, but really we are supposed to eat out of one. And that's why Adam fell, Eve fell. Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and the life. And what I wanted you to take away from that was the fact that you don't just get a map when you sign up or you decide to follow Jesus, you get him, right? He's your guide. He doesn't say, here's a map, good luck. He says, no, here am I. And the Bible is also the map, but he comes with us to walk with us. Week number two was a little more personal, a little more challenging because we looked at the fact that we have to walk in love. We don't maybe walk in love as a Christian. We walk in love. And one of the lines I want you to remember is this. It says, love is not optional, but fruit is our evidence. And this is it. John makes it painfully clear. It is not what you claim. It's how you walk. It's not what you claim. It's how you walk. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but walk contrary to what it means to walk in Christ. There's a lot of people say, oh, I love God, but then they don't love their fellow neighbor, brother. That's why Jesus gave that one I always go back to that blew their minds. If you are in the temple and you are waiting to give your offering, but you have an ought with your brother, get out of line and go find your brother and make it right. Because that's more important to me than the gift you're gonna bring at worship. Which I hope reminds us every time we get up here to worship, we should be checking our heart and going, Lord, do I have an ought with a brother and sister? I think that one thing would radically change Christianity if we did that. Any amens with that? Wouldn't it, if every week we got up here and we went, Lord, there are people all around me. Do I have an ought with any one of these? Because I don't want to worship and be in unforgiveness, hatred. I don't want to do that because the book of John says you can't walk with Christ and hate your brother. The last thing I want you to remember with that message is maturity is not measured by what you know, but by how you love. Maturity is not how loud you are. It's not how much you worship, how loud you worship. It's not how much scripture you have memorized, which is all good. Maturity is going to be measured by how you love your neighbor and how you love the Lord. And I think we've gotten that backwards in the church. We can have wonderful worship sessions and walk out and have road rage. Let's be real. Have you ever been driving behind somebody that is not being very nice, but they have a bumper sticker that says, Jesus is Lord? Because I have. And I really wanted to get out of the car and say, this must be your father's car or somebody else's car, because it surely can't be yours. And yet, that's sometimes how we go about things. One of the things that became clear this week, I just want to touch on this, and then I'm going to jump into my sermon, but this has to do with week two. Thursday, I got a call from Dana. Some of you saw the video, and maybe you haven't. Got a call. Her father suddenly passed away on Tuesday in his sleep, which he was ready to go. He had battled MS for 25 years. And the beautiful thing about the ceremony is he battled every day so he could love people. and he loved his grandkids. I thought that's a lesson for us to learn, because we all want to check out sometimes, right? And he's like, no, I'm going to fight until the Lord takes me home. And while I'm here, I'm going to love my grandkids. I'm going to love my daughter, my son. Anyway, she called us on Thursday. I did not expect this, but she said, is there any chance? And she was broken. She was grieving. She was crying. But she said, is there any chance that we could host the funeral here? Because they didn't have enough room in Ree's funeral home. And it was almost a year ago, Pastor Rod's mother passed away. And I went to the board. I really wanted to change. We had had a policy not to do funerals. And in my heart, I felt like that season was changing. We talked about it, gave Pastor Rod permission. But in the end, it was just easier to do it in Amherstburg. So we never did it here. We did the fellowship. And then I forgot about it. I just kind of left it. And when she called on Thursday, my heart said, yes, we need to do this. And so miraculously, I called James for sound, Susan for the kitchen, Pastor Rod could do the funeral. I'm like, we can do this. And it was a mad dash to make it happen. But while we were setting up tables and doing different things, in my heart, what kept coming up through the whole 2 days is this is what we're talking about when we say love. This is the practical way. I'm not satisfied if we just preach something. I'm not satisfied if I preach something, but when an opportunity arises that I can do, I can't always do it, but if the opportunity arises and I say no, but I preach about love, what am I saying? And church, I believe that there are going to be practical things that we're going to be able to do in the coming days. And I hope you will get on board in the days ahead where, God forbid, somebody passes away close to us, but we say, you know what? I'm going to practically love them through this. Because what I saw yesterday was we were a part of the healing of their grieving. We got to be a part of that. We got to serve them. We got to love on them. And the coolest thing, the blessing is that we had more people in this church that we will have. Maybe not. I hope not. But honestly, we had 100, 200, 170, 150 people that some of them never have stepped foot in a church. We had mainline denominations that would never step foot into this church, but because of a funeral, they did. And they said they were blessed. They said they were touched. We got to, and I thank my family, we got to sing two worship songs, one at the beginning and one at the end. And when you do that, what do we know? Where two or more are gathered, I'm there in their midst. When you praise, he inhabits. So we know he was here and we know he was touching people. We would have never have had that opportunity, but I'll tell you this, it was costly. It took our time. It took our energy. Different people came in to help serve, but that's what love looks like. Amen. So I want to encourage us as a family, the next time something like that happens, would you join me in knowing that you get to be a part of that healing and that our love will be very practical? But that looks like Tim Sweeney saying we need help because we want to make this place look beautiful when they drive up. We want them to feel welcome when they walk through the door. So our greeters are going to be full of smiles. It's just all part of it. Amen. Nope, I still need that. Okay, I want you to turn your Bibles. Let's get going into week 3. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And by the way, thank you for all those that came out to help. So blessed by that. And Susan, thanks for jumping on board with the food and all those. And James, Claude and Elaine were big help. And my kids, grateful. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. And I'm going to dive into this today. So this is week 3. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I like to understand words. I'm not okay with reading something and just going, I don't know what that means, but I'm gonna skip over. And I read words like this, and you're gonna hear it again. It says, if you're in Christ, and in a few minutes, we're going to read another scripture that says, if you walk in the Spirit, to me, those are, it seems simple, but I think, Lord, there's more to it. And I don't know about you, but that can sound complicated. Like, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So first thing I want you to know, just quickly, I'll find mine. I'm a Canadian citizen. I think most of you knew that. Although my picture looks like a mugshot. I seriously look like an axe murderer or something like that. But it's right on the top there. It says Canada. And I love to go to different places. Chris and I love to travel. One of the places we have loved to go to, we'll see what the future brings, but we've loved to go to Mexico. I love when I go to Mexico. I love the music. I love, they're just happy people. They are beautiful people. I love the language, and I could even somewhat speak it. Yo como manzanas. Anybody ever do Duolingo? That's the first lesson, and that's pretty much what I remember. Yo como manzanas. I eat apples, which does nothing when I get to Mexico. So I also know how to drink water, too. Yo hablo agua. So I can speak the language, not. I love the music. I can kind of get the rhythm. I love the weather. But you know what? None of that makes me a citizen of Mexico. It doesn't matter how much I like things in Mexico. It doesn't matter, you know, I could literally become fluent in Spanish, but that does not make me a citizen of Mexico. Liking something doesn't make you a citizen. Here's the interesting thing that I can go, I don't know where it's at, but I can go to the embassy, the Canadian embassy, and I can walk in. And the moment I walk into the Canadian embassy, I am on Canadian soil. Technically, I am in. I am a Canadian citizen. The minute I step out of it, I am not a Mexican citizen. I am still just a visiting resident, which means that my Canadian, all that goes with being Canadian doesn't, I don't have legal authority there. I'm under the Mexican government when I'm there, but I walk into the embassy and now I have legal status there. I'm supported and protected by Canada in the embassy. You following me? And that's huge. We need to understand what it means to be in and what it means to be out. Another thing would be, you know, you are often in gangs. You're either in or out. And when you're in, you're in. And when you're out, you're out. It's pretty remarkable. And a lot of times you have to swear into being into this gang and other horrific things. But man, when you are in, they support you, protect you, love you. But when you're out, look out. I'm thankful the kingdom has good parts to it, but not the negative like that. 2 Corinthians says this again. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Turn, I'm going to give you a few more scriptures if you can turn to Romans 8, 1. So if you ever want to know how I design my, when I start researching, so that's great. But then the question I ask myself is, how are you in Christ? How are you in? Is it coming to church? Raising your hands when you worship? Is it saying a little prayer and then you're in? See, that's the challenge I have in North American Christianity. I think we've settled for say this prayer, you're in. And then everybody goes back to living the same way. We actually are fighting this battle. This has become the hot topic in North America because we have immigrants coming in. And I fully believe that if people do the right channels, we need to support it. I really believe that. But here's the thing that has been lost, and I'm going to share this in a minute, but when my mom came to Canada, they became Canadian and wanted to be Canadian. But here's the cool thing. They kept all that was unique about who they were. They were able to keep that. They didn't have to become somebody different. They got to become Canadian and still love their traditions. but they loved Canada. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this tells me right off the bat, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So it's again, it's actually used 160 times in the New Testament, in Christ, in the Spirit, in. So when you're in, there's a lot of benefits that come with it. Turn to Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Galatians 3, 26 to 28 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's a good word. Because it says, when you have faith in Christ Jesus and you're baptized into Christ Jesus, you're neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. That would look like this. When you go away, we have done all-inclusives, and let's say that you're in the buffet area, and when you sit in that buffet area, you would be amazed if you started to ask how many nationalities were in that buffet area. You would be amazed. There would be Canadians, and there would be Mexicans, and there would be U.S., there would be British. There, like, you go down the line, there would be a ton of nationalities. But if they all stood up and said the pledge to Mexico, and, you know, this is just, use the analogy with me, but if they said the pledge to Mexico and all that goes with that, in an instance, they would all be one as Mexican citizens. We wouldn't be Greek or Jew. We wouldn't be male. We would still be male and female, but there would be no distinction all of a sudden if we did that. We are now one. And what Jesus, or this is Paul trying to say, is when you become in Christ, we all become one. There's no distinction anymore. Even to the point where the church gets it wrong, there's neither male nor female. We can still say, yes, brother, yes, sister, but the reality is what used to stop us doesn't stop us anymore. What used to divide us doesn't divide us anymore. We are one. Following me? So let me give you an understanding here. My mom was able to find her Dutch passport. I could show you the picture if we had a clam and we could do a close up if we were putting this up there. This is like a treasure. Before you got your Canadian citizenship. She's a young girl. It's interesting though. I'm not sure what this means. You can tell me what the first word is.
Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Kingdom of the Netherlands. This is her passport that is the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Now, she would have become a part of the Kingdom of the Netherlands when she was born. She was born into the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Now, I'd like you to know that I believe to an extent we are born into the Kingdom of God in the sense that I think there is protection of being under our mother and father. Even there's moments where it says salvation to your whole household. But I also believe at some point you got to make a decision, don't you? Right? But in this sense, she was born into the kingdom. And I had to look it up. I wasn't sure. They're not a Commonwealth nation. So the Kingdom of the Netherlands has a king. It has a king. And if you are a member, a citizen of the kingdom, you are under the king of that nation. Now, she did not, you know, the Netherlands is a good place to live for the most part. There are reasons why she came to Canada. That's not what we're talking about here. For a moment, let's pretend that this was not the passport to the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Let's take something that's a little more relative. Let's say this was a passport to Cuba. Cuba is in dire straits right now, if you read the news. It has been for a long time. It's just getting much, much worse. A lot of that nation is living powerless for many hours a day. Sometimes they are going days now without any power. They are learning to live once again over open fires where they cook if they have food. It's bad. It's really bad. So let's say that this was a passport and she was a citizen of Cuba. And all of a sudden she had the opportunity to become a citizen of Canada. And we know many Cubans have tried to flee and many have been able to, and they want to try to get to a better nation. So let's say that my mom was from Cuba. And if you look through her passport, there's all this cool stuff, but it is all under the Kingdom of the Netherlands. So let's say she's under the Kingdom of Cuba, and an opportunity comes for her to move from a place where there's no power, a place where it's a constant struggle, and she is able to go to Canada, where it's a much better system, a much better place. And let's tweak it a little bit and say, just hypothetically, let's say that this is the ultimate place to live. Now, I love Canada. Whether I'd say it's the ultimate place to live, I don't know. But let's say it's ultimately the best place, and that we have a king that is just a wonderful ruler, generous. And I know, we're imagining. But let's say that this king is generous and this king is gracious and this king is merciful. And this king, when you get into this nation, just the amazing things that open up for you. And at some point she did become a Canadian citizen. This is her Canadian passport. But what's really interesting is that I had never looked at this, but for a second, let's take a look a minute. And this is the actual thing that you have to swear by when you become a Canadian citizen. So I want you to follow along with me. Anybody recently become a Canadian citizen in here? Anybody? Last 10 years, 20 years? Oh, that's awesome. Maybe you had to say this exact thing. Listen, it says, I swear or affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors, and that I will faithfully observe the laws of Canada and fulfill my duties as a Canadian citizen. Wow. I'm gonna read one more time. Just try to imagine. I swear or affirm. So they stand in front of a magistrate and they say, I swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors, and that I will faithfully observe the laws of Canada and fulfill my duties as a Canadian citizen. That's a powerful declaration. And the minute that my mom did that, I don't know how quickly you got your passport, the minute she did that and she swore allegiance to the king, she is now a Canadian citizen. That's powerful. Now, here's what's interesting, though. My concern is in the body of Christ is that we haven't fully understood what it means to walk with God. We haven't fully understood what it means to become in Christ, because we read a scripture a minute ago that said this. You don't have to turn back to it, but it said, for you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So what's the number one thing we have to have? Faith. The minute she did that, there was nothing else that would say it's only by faith. You think about it. I'm in her sense, she was from the Netherlands, but let's say we're from an island like Cuba. You go from being a Cuban citizen, and in a matter of seconds, you say, by faith, I am now a Canadian citizen, by faith. I've had the privilege of marrying many people, some right here. And isn't it amazing? By the words invested in me, by the power invested in me, and in Christ Jesus, I now pronounce you man and wife. And in that moment, by faith, they are now man and wife. It's a faith thing. It's no different than becoming a citizen. When she said those words, by faith, she is now a citizen of Canada. And then it goes on, though. It says, for as many of you that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is Galatians 3. We read it earlier. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So one thing about becoming a Canadian citizen or any other citizen of any other nation that I know of, when you do it in a democracy, you don't do it behind closed doors. Do you know where you do it? Publicly, for all to see that I am now, I am changing my citizenship from this dark place, say Cuba, to this place of light, Canada. Analogy. But you are making, that was a little too loud, Richard. Inside voice, brother, inside voice. But you are now making a declaration by faith, publicly, of who you're becoming. But it says very clearly, they were baptized into Christ Jesus. One of the things I'm becoming very, very aware of, there is a place to say a prayer, but I want to move from people that just, hey, do you want to know Jesus? Say this prayer. Good job. Go on your way. I don't want to do that. It is a, hey, do you want to walk with Christ? Do you want to follow the way of Christ? And it really has to become, do you want to move your allegiance from the one tree you were eating from? I wouldn't say it like this. I'm just telling you, the one tree is self-reliance, doing everything on your own. And would you like to move into the kingdom of the Son and his lordship and walking in his ways? Because that's what we're talking about. And the next part of it is, it says being baptized, because honestly, when you go into the baptismal tank, which we are going to do on Easter Sunday, woo, we got a few people that are going to get water baptized, can't wait. When they are water baptized in that moment, you know what they're doing? They're making a public declaration. I am trading one citizenship for another. Let me read a scripture for you if I can find it real quick. I'll read two scriptures real quick if I can find them both. 1 Corinthians says this. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. It's literally saying in this citizenship of Adam, all die. You are born, it says, in the Adamic nature. You are born into that. Because Adam sinned. That's your citizenship when you're born. At some point, you just don't get to walk around and go, well, I love Jesus. You know, he's a great guy. I'm going to heaven. That's not what it looks like. There's a moment when you realize I'm born into darkness. I'm a sinner. And I need to put my faith and my loyalty in the King Jesus. And you step into then this citizenship, which says, in Christ, all shall be made alive. And then it says in Colossians, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That is the citizenship you were in before, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. So they're literally going to say, when they go into that baptismal tank, I am submitting to the King, and I am publicly acknowledging that. And when I go under these waters, both of salvation that I've said, and when I come up, my old nature is dead, my new nature is alive. I want baptismal to become one of the most powerful things that we see. Because it is, that's why. It's not a hyped up ceremony. I want all of us to have this incredible understanding of, when I went into those waters, I said yes to the King, I left my old citizenship, I won't throw it, I left my old citizenship there, and I came out of the waters with a brand new passport. And now I'm a citizen of heaven. That's powerful. And I think one of the things that's going to do is it's going to begin to help disciple people into a stronger walk with Jesus. It's not enough to go, yeah, I like Jesus. It's not enough to have multiple passports. You know, James Bond, all the passports in the world. You can't go, well, I'll use this one when I need it, and I'll use this one when I need it. No, I have one passport now. I'm putting it all in Jesus. So important. One last thing maybe I'll end early. I know, my daughter just said, wow. She said, wow, because this message is just overwhelming her. If you always want to know the truth, ask your kids. I usually ask my daughter when I even did today, like, you want the truth? You ask your wife, how do you look? Oh, that's all right. That's good. You ask your daughter, change. You really need to change. You didn't today. I know. It was good today. You're like, it's good. Good outfit. So I want to come back to, that was almost attaching it to week one, because I really wanted to drive in the point of you are in Christ and we need to make sure. And if you're here today and you're like, you know, I feel like I got my passport because I was in a family that went to church. My kids were born Canadian. They didn't make that choice. They were born Canadian. And so they were born into a family that went to church. So they went to church. They were in the church. But that doesn't always mean that they're in Christ because they were born into a family that goes to church. That's the easy thing that we think, well, they're in our church, so they're in, or in our family, so they're in the church. Yeah, they come to church and they visit, and people, not my kids, my kids have all been baptized and are walking and discovering what it means to walk with Jesus. But I don't want it to be where people come in, like when I go to Mexico and I receive and enjoy the things of Mexico, but never really become a citizen. I just visit, wave. That's not what church is supposed to be. I come in and I get a few good feel goods and, you know, somebody prays for me and that's awesome. At some point, you want people to go, you know what? I want my allegiance to now be with King Jesus, right? Now, here's the next part that I want to start today and I'll get into next week. Here's the thing with Cuba and why I wanted to use Cuba. Because Cuba, like I said, is often now without power. So going back, let's say that this passport again was a Cuban passport and my mom decides to come from Cuba and she comes to Canada and she goes through and she gives her allegiance to the king, King Charles III. She gets a passport. Oh, she's now a citizen and she goes back to her house that she gets to have and then she does not use the electricity, but goes outside and begins to cook over a fire. Now, we would watch, you know, unless she just likes to have barbecues. But if we noticed her lights are never on, she's not ever running anything. She does all the dishes by herself. You know, we have a dishwasher that plugs in, but nope, she washes everything by hand. Okay, well, that's odd. Surely she uses the washing machine. Nope, she washes all the clothes by hand. The dryer, nope, she hangs everything up. The blender, the hair, everything. Nothing gets plugged in. That would be what? Ridiculous, awful, weird. But here's the amazing thing. When you become a citizen, just like the ability to have, if a Cuban never experienced power and came here and all of a sudden had power but chose not to use it, it would be foolish. And here's what I know about the kingdom of God and all that we're talking about and loving like the way we're talking about is that if we don't plug into a power source, it is impossible. And that's why this scripture that we read at the beginning, let's turn back to it as we get ready to close. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So I hope you understand what it means to be in Christ, but then it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's just this world that we live in. It's not like, it's like there's a battle in us. But it says your spirit doesn't want to do it, but your flesh does. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. One of the things for next week I want to dive into, but I want you to understand this in, is that when you took on a citizenship in the kingdom of light, that we would be foolish to not use a power source, right? Because it's impossible. And the power source is the Holy Spirit, just in case you're wondering. It is the only way to live and love like we're talking about. It is the only way to forgive when it's the hardest thing possible. It's the only way to have revelation. It's the only way to have wisdom and a counselor. It is through the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk next week to know that when you're in Christ, you are also able to walk in the Spirit. But you can't walk in the Spirit until you are in Christ. It's part of the citizenship that you're given. And I want to walk in it. Amen? So I'll close with this understanding. When you get your citizenship in the kingdom, you relocate from darkness to light. It's interesting that the embassy that you walk into is literally a realm that you walked into in the kingdom. If I were to go to the embassy of Mexico, I walk into the realm of Canada. So here's the beautiful thing. Did you know wherever you go, you carry the realm of the kingdom? It said a little further on, I didn't read it today for time, it says you are an ambassador. It literally means wherever you go, you are part, you are carrying the kingdom with you. I think the day is going to come where we're going to get a revelation of that, that you can walk up to somebody and have enough confidence to go, I know what kingdom I'm carrying and I know what realm is around me. So I walk up to somebody and I'm going to pray for them with confidence, knowing that that realm just invaded their realm. And that you could pray for them with confidence. Lord, I just ask for peace because my realm or your realm just entered their realm. Lord, would your peace come? Because you're an embassy. Baptism is a sign that you are having allegiance to the King. Love becomes the evidence, and the Spirit becomes the empowerment. Citizenship is relocation. Embassy becomes the realm. Baptism becomes allegiance. Love becomes the evidence, but Spirit is the empowerment. One last thing. Going to church makes you a visitor. Do you know that? When you go to church, you're just a visitor. But being in Christ makes you a citizen. And walking in the Spirit teaches you to live like one. Why don't you stand? Thank you, sir. Now, what you don't need to do, yeah, we'll have a sign-up sheet and the whole church is like, I got to go to baptism again. No. I do believe, you know, sometimes people ask me, should you get done twice? I'm not like, there's no rule in my mind that says you only have to be done once, but I would ask you, why are you getting done again? But I'm very aware, like even with my kids, that when they were water baptized, they had a level of understanding. And I find that with a lot of young people, they do get to a point when they become an adult that they go, you know what, I'm making a really informed choice more than before. Not that it didn't count, but I am making now a public declaration of what I'm doing as an adult. And so if your kids ever ask you that, I totally think that's okay. And as sometimes adults are baptized when they're young, some churches baptize as babies, and they're like later on going, I want to get baptized. Yes, you can be baptized. If you've been baptized four times and you want to get baptized again for some reason, I'd say, why didn't the other three work or four work? So then we have to look at that. Because baptism is not healing, but we've seen healing happen. Baptism is not deliverance, but we've seen deliverance happen. That was a cool one. The gentleman came out of the water, and all of a sudden we smelled marijuana that wasn't there before, and he was instantly delivered. That's cool. But you don't go through the baptism for that, but it could happen. We go through baptism to declare, he is now my king. I publicly make my citizenship King Jesus. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your generosity. Because the truth is, Lord, you paid the price so we can have citizenship in your kingdom. We don't have to pay the price. You paid the price. We get to pledge our allegiance to you. So, Lord, even as we continue down this path, I pray, Lord, that those that want to be water baptized to declare their allegiance, would you begin to touch their hearts and move on their hearts? that when that day comes, they can make a decision to say, yes, I'm following the King. And for us, Lord, that have made that declaration, Lord, I pray that we become more aware of the realm that we carry, so wherever we go, we can expect things to change. Lord, I thank you, even when we drive our cars, we shouldn't be expecting rage. Lord, I pray that we would even expect peace all around us. Peace in the grocery store, peace when we go to work. Lord, I pray that the kingdom of heaven would override any other kingdom wherever we go, because that is truth. And we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that the chaos of the world would not enter our embassy, our realm, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.